first and foremost, you got to know your numbers, and you got to charge a fair price for an awesome amount of value. If you're competing on price, you're just not going to have anything at the end of the day in order to, you know, fulfill an off season where you can sit down and really rehash what went on, and it's done in complete solitude.
Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action. Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can?
Hey, everybody. Josh here. Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. Can you believe that it's already Tuesday, January 9th? I cannot believe it. Time is flying way too fast. Well, today I have a special guest. It's our first guest interview of the year, I believe. And it's a buddy of mine named Brandon Lazar. And chances are you might not have heard of Brandon Lazar, but he has an incredible story that I think is going to touch you in your heart, and it's going to relate with you. You know, you guys hear me talk all the time about how you can change your family tree with your business. You can change your community, like your little tiny business, even if it's just you. Like, the potential that it has for change and for positive impact in the world is huge, you know? And you might feel like silly that your business is so small, but whatever your purpose is or your dreams are, your little tiny service company can deliver that to you. And I'm going to let Brandon tell his incredible story, but to give you a teaser, he's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. He takes 3 months off every single winter. He has two different companies that he's built. I think he's in Mexico right now. He's been all over Africa and went to Mount Everest and done all this crazy stuff that maybe some people would think, wait, how can someone do that with a cleaning business? That's crazy. Well, Brandon, thank you for taking time with us. How the heck are you?
Hola, Josh. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing fantastic. I have to say, you know, we always look forward to a change is as good as a rest, as they say. And of course, we're on our off season right now. And it's really time for me to take a bit of a workation, step back and rehash on the back end of the business.
Taking a workation. I love that. That's awesome, man. Well, let's get into your backstory so that we can set up how cool of a business you've built. Take us back. How'd you get into the service industry? What are you doing these days?
Yeah, so just a brief intro. I'm 29 years old. I'm from British Columbia, Canada, and I have a business degree. In my first year of my program, I actually started two separate businesses simultaneously. One is a concession business that essentially goes to the largest trade shows and fairs and outdoor festivals over the summer, and we serve fresh-squeezed lemonade and $10 sunglasses. And so over the summer months, it's super, super busy with that business. And then, of course, in the spring and the fall, those months are predominantly focused around my other business, which is a gutter and window cleaning business.
So do you have a lot of entrepreneurs in your family? It sounds like we're about 19 years old and you launched these two service companies. Totally different, by the way. That is kind of an interesting selling sunglasses and lemonade and then cleaning some gutters out. But what prompted you to even want to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, well, definitely my dad was certainly an inspiration. You know, he worked for the man for probably 25 years. And my parents have very frugal spending habits. You know, they're incredibly generous, but at the same time, they're very in tune and very financially aware. And, you know, even after doing all that contribution to this company, you know, they would have had a retirement, but it would have been, you know, a fairly modest one. At pretty much the 26-year mark, he went out on his own and he started a sawmill engineering company. And, you know, in 10 years of running that business and then eventually selling it, you know, it completely whooped the previous 25 years in terms of what the results were. And, you know, that's just so inspiring. That is crazy. You know, you can work smarter, you can work harder.
Yeah, that's awesome. So your dad, after being multi-decades as an employee, decided to start a company and worked his butt off, had success, and made more money and had more freedom than he ever did in the previous 20-something years with his with this job. That's awesome. I think, you know, as the listeners listen to this, we know that there's something here with our business. We know that there's freedom, there's systems. I mean, for you to be able to leave for 3 months each year, I know you're in Mexico right now, you got to have some things in place. Walk us through your current structure of your company, how things are set up. Is it seasonal? What type of team do you have? How have you built this lifestyle for yourself?
Well, I think first and foremost, Josh, I got to mention, you know, I am a massive fan. I started out with your Window Wealth ebook in 2015. Back then, we had two vans, and we barely had two vans. Since then, you know, it seems like so long ago, and that's a good thing because I think that means a lot has changed. Since then, we now have four branches. We're in four different cities with two more on the horizon, and we're going to have nine vans going this year strong. And I think that's a little bit more than just coincidence, and you're bringing massive, massive value, and people got to listen up and appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you so much. But you know where the real value is, and that means a ton to me when people take action. The real value is in your massive action. So for you to go from two crews to nine in a couple seasons, you must have been working your guts out. I mean, I know you play hard, but there's also the whole work hard element. What was it like for you after being stuck in certain old habits to make that big of a transition, start hiring and building teams and systems and doing all that dirty work? Was there fear? Was it scary? It costs a lot of capital. There's a lot of money you have to invest to scale like that. What was it like through your last few years?
Yeah, well, fortunately, you know, I see the off season as a tremendous opportunity to work in the business on the business rather than in the business. And if you can take advantage of that opportunity, you know, nothing else is going on. So it's a perfect opportunity for systemizing things and essentially figuring out what went well and whatever didn't go well, you got to come up with a solution to try and, you know, improve your game for the year going forward. Definitely we've had a couple, you know, steps along the way, but I think, you know, looking back on it, like you say, you know, you're your own biggest competitor and enemy. And, you know, it's so easy to externalize the fear and look side to side at, you know, various competition or industry trends or whatever. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what you want to put out there. And I have to say, even after, you know, 10 years in business with the service business, every single year we could have used more crews. So although we're doing great, you know, again, there was a slight degree of hesitation. And, you know, arguably we could have had even greater output. And but that's just part of the journey too, right?
Yeah, it is. And for me, it seems very intuitive. But I know not everybody thinks this way, that the off season or your downtime, that is where the biggest gains are made. It's kind of like a NFL football team. You know, you play on Sunday the game, but the victory is really in that the week of practice before that. It's in the preparation, the planning, the strategy, the tactics, the systems. It's in all of that stuff, getting your head right, understanding the rules of the game and the opponent that you're playing. I, you know, not everybody has a seasonal company, but most of us do have cyclical cycles, and there are periods of lows, which instead of panicking and being depressed, that's when you dig into the back end stuff. That's when you build the systems. You look at how you are as a leader. You talk to your team. You cut things out that aren't working and you add things that are working. Every winter, Brandon, I spent 6 weeks with my entire leadership team, and it was so brutal. And we'd usually do about 6 hours a day. We go for like 3 hours, go get lunch, do 3 hours. But we would go through every single system in our whole company, every script, every process, everything.
Oh, that's so good.
Everything
I love
you can
it.
Imagine. And we would say, does this need to be here or should it be gone? Can we improve it? You know, what's the feedback? And it was hard, but that's what propels the growth. Now, you take, 3 months off and you're in Mexico. Tell us some of the things you've been able to do because you have a systemized business. I know you went to Mount Kilimanjaro and a whole bunch of other stuff. Tell us about
that.
Yeah,
and, you know, just to preface, you know, I know the struggle and I know how the business can, just by running it on a day-to-day basis, it can be like a black hole. You know, it just sucks in whatever you got for it, unless you're able to kind of step back. And fortunately, that's what this offseason has done. It's been like a forced timeout. And I am very confident that we're much further ahead with 3 months of absolute downtime where our revenues are essentially nil. And yet, in the big picture, you know, when you're talking on a 5 or 10 year trend, you know, we're way further ahead just because we've had that opportunity to break down the systems and then to revamp them and then reinstitute them. The cool thing too for us is that we now live in a world where, you know, there's Wi-Fi. I'm sitting here in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, And, you know, the internet is arguably better than the connection I have at home. And you're really not governed by any sort of geographical limitations anymore. That's just simply not the world we live in. As such, I've done some crazy things in my lifetime in the off season, and to no detriment of the production in terms of the back end of the business. Just to name a few things, yeah, I did the Mount Everest base camp in Nepal, as well as Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. I did the world's highest bungee jump in South Africa. It was 216 meters, equivalent to 70 stories.
Oh, my word.
I did a motorcycle trip from East to South Africa on XR250s. We just kind of showed up, jumped on them, and did six countries, and we're camping the whole way. So you can only imagine the adventure, especially given that we were camping along the way. You know, there was days where we'd wake up in a guy's mango field, and of course it gets dark at 6 o'clock, so we just pull over to the side of the road and pitch a light camp there. And yeah, no end of stories there.
That is unbelievable. And I mean, I have two paths I want to go down. We'll do one at a time. The first one is, you're obviously a risk taker. You love adventure. And actually, that definitely helps you in business. No doubt about that. But what I was going to say is, when you take that time off, you're not actually, you know, neglecting your business. You're actually setting yourself up to win at business. I made a post on Facebook last night. It said, you know, don't confuse being busy with being productive. People sometimes feel like if they're not stressed and they're not constantly doing, you know, grunt work and doing this and doing that, running around and being stressed out, they feel like they're dropping the ball with their business. When it, in fact, and you tell me if this is true for you, sometimes taking a workcation or whatever, or going and doing your motorcycle trip, that's the best thing you could ever do for your business. That is productive in the realm of business, because you're charging your batteries. You get to be creative. I mean, most of your creativity probably comes in the down season, right? Speak to that for a moment.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I'm a huge advocate for, you know, Audible and podcasts. And I think those are great influences in an entrepreneur's life. But also, so is silence. And sometimes I think it's undervalued that if you just take the time and just reflect, you know, some interesting things can kind of come out of the subconscious. And, you know, I don't think enough consideration gets given to that. You know, we're always about more info, more info, more info. And, you know, it kind of waters it down, where silence can really bring on some awesome things too.
Absolutely. We live in a very, very noisy world. And I said yesterday on my podcast, or one of the days this week, how the world does not have a shortage of opinions, right? And there's a difference between like productive knowledge that you can apply to your life and just opinion overload and noise and white noise. And we're inundated with stuff. We can't even see clearly. We can't think clearly. It's just, it's insane. If you listen to my podcast, which I know you do, Brandon, you probably heard me say that one of my favorite quotes is 10 out of 10 people die. And I don't say that because I'm like some creepy weirdo. It's just the reality of the situation. It says in the Bible that a wise man thinks of death often. And, you know, we want our business to serve us. So I know you had a loss in your family many years ago. Can you talk about how that affected your thinking and if that had an impact on your business?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the most important thing is to realize the most important thing we have on this world and the most precious thing we have is time. And too often that gets forgotten. And essentially 9 years ago, March 29th, 2009, my younger brother, we're three brothers in the course of 3 years. My middle brother, Shane, tragically passed away suddenly in a car accident. And that, I tell you, man, that was the worst thing in the world. And, you know, my heart goes out to anybody that's in a similar situation. And, you know, for a year, you're completely numb. And that's a really tough thing to have to go through. Fortunately, you know, after a bit of healing took place, you know, it doesn't get easier. You're just able to tolerate the pain a little easier. It, for me, at least, it brought a complete paradigm shift on how I view life. And to look at it as a journey and not a destination. Time is valuable and it's precious, and it's really important that we recognize that, because it sure goes by quick.
Oh, it does. And sometimes mega life events like that have a way of shocking our system and just really reminding us that everything is so fragile, you know. And That's why I have such a hard time with all these internet entrepreneurial people that are like, hustle, hustle, grind, you know, get up and I'm going to get mine. I'm a lion and all this stuff. It's like, I mean, it's really not about that.
Settle down. Business. Yeah. Yeah. Come back to earth.
There's a part of me that loves to fight. You know, I was in kickboxing for years. I traveled the country. I do jujitsu in my basement for fun. At least I did. I haven't in a while, but I like the fight. I like the hustle, but our business, the reason it exists is not just to be in business. It's not even just to make money. It's to serve us. It's the other benefit, which goes back to what you're saying. It's about family and it's about time and it's about legacy and it's about influence and it's about all these other things. So we don't want to make it about that. If you have a tragedy like you did, it's probably honestly a little easier for you to remind yourself of the vanity of getting cocky because your business has done this or that, or your checking account balance has a certain amount in it. It just doesn't matter. It's all going to burn. It's all going to go away. But the impact you've made on the world and driving motorcycles and camping in Africa, which is totally insane, by the way, that's really what you're going to think about when you're old, I think. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's universal advice, you know, not to go too crazy into the tangent of traveling. But, you know, I've even heard contrary advice to drink lots of water. You know, I've heard like bottled water companies will sponsor some of those studies. So it's like you can't even rely on drink lots of water as a human as being proper advice. But to me, so far, I've never heard somebody come up with a contradiction to travel while you're young. And here's the thing, you know, 3 billion people live on less than $2.50 a day. And yeah, our businesses are meant to supply welfare and a lifestyle for ourselves, but also to other people. You know, going to those countries, and I did kind of target the developing countries for the experience factor, you just come back with such a feeling of humility where, you know, this guy is hustling his butt. And all day, and he's making, you know, $5 massaging people or, you know, out in a field or whatever. Like, that's crazy. And you come back home and it's like, okay, pick a number, you know, do the inputs that are required and hit the goal. You know, it's that easy. And we're given such an incredible opportunity to be born where we are. And at the time that we've come into this world, you know, there's never been a place or a time, if you're listening to this podcast, that's provided more opportunity. None. Ever.
Ever. You're right. Never, ever, ever. If you can't figure this out and make it in business right now in the environment we're in today, you had zero chance of making it at any other time period in human history. Like, it is so profound. And when we lived in Costa Rica, and let's talk about this for a minute, just the different worldviews and the culture and the way people view family and money and things like that. But you're right. Like, we're so fortunate. It's insane. I mean, we're doing this interview right now. Like, thousands of people are going to listen to it. And then I can sell stuff to people all over the world. And so can everybody listening. And we can scale our business and have virtual Skype meetings and build systems online and keep it in the cloud and market and do Facebook. It's endless. It's endless. Tell me from a business perspective some of the interesting things that you perceived or thought about as you traveled to these developing nations, and how it's different from the West, where we come from.
I think as an entrepreneur, you need grit and you need drive. And again, it's just coming back with that sense of humility where it's like you see this guy go nuts as hard as he can trying to sell you, you know, to me, of all people, a set of sunglasses or, you know, working hard physical labor. And when you just dig even an ounce of that inspiration and again, apply it back to what we already have, it's so easy to just move things forward. And again, you're able to do that drastically on a laptop and an internet connection.
Yeah. I always tell my kids that you do not make money by working hard. You make money by providing value. And the advantage we have in the West is that we're so interconnected. Our transportation system, the internet, the infrastructure, the roads, like everything is set up so we can reach a ton of people to provide a ton of people a ton of value. And in the developing countries like Costa Rica, they have these little villages and little towns, and there might be like 200 people there. And there's no shortage of people working their guts out. Like you said, the hard work isn't necessarily the issue. It's that they don't have the opportunity to reach scale. They don't have that. It's just different. Like
the means.
We can't take credit for that. We can't be arrogant because we're 7 feet tall. I always make the analogy, like, LeBron James can be proud of himself for working hard, but he can't be proud of himself for being like 6'11". He just is that way. Like, you can't be cocky because you're born in the United States and it's easier here. Because let me tell you, it is easier here.
Yeah, and like the genetic lottery is what you're referring to, right? And obviously we don't have a lot of say in how that turns out. You know, you're basically given a hand and a poker hand at the beginning of your life, and how you want to play it is up to you, right? I think we really got to appreciate as business owners, you know, I know it's tough and guys don't show up and, you know, you're trying to sell things and it's a slog, but to just remember that it could be a lot worse. You could have a lot less influence. And then to appreciate, you know, the power of being in business for yourself, not only on like an income capability mark, or, you know, the fact that you get write-offs and you can be more efficient in terms of tax to prolong and minimize tax, but also with the systems, you know, with good ironed out effective systems, you know, you get more time. Like we said, time is the most valuable thing we can come across in this world. You get more when you have systems and when you have a business. You know, you get a greater output when you have systems and you're more effective. So arguably, if a system's working well, you got less things to worry about. And that to me sounds like a much better life.
Yeah, then that's a good segue. Let's talk about, you know, your company, your cleaning company specifically, and some of the systems you've had and some of the struggles you've had. I mean, what's been the bigger hurdle for you? Has it been the sales and marketing side and generating deal flow and selling at a high average ticket price? Or has it been more the leadership and people and building your team side? What's that look like for you over the last few years as you scaled up so significantly?
Well, I think you said it to a point there, just even in a recent podcast, you know, you need a lever for bringing on and onboarding new employees, but you also need a lever for sales. And when you're going to need each of those levers is yet to be determined. But it's important that you have one for each nonetheless. Up until now, you know, we've been very blessed to have no shortage of deal flow. And I think the problem there is, of course, we are from Canada. It gets cold. The problem there is when you have 3 months off, it's hard to maintain a full-time crew. And so for us, the real struggle, which fortunately I think I'm on the path to getting over, has been just onboarding, recruiting, and training up in a shortest period of time in order to get some more boots on the ground that are going to be effective producers for you.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you're using the word lever. You know, I love it when I hear people like speak back like little phrases that I've used, like, because it's so true. You need to be able to pull something and get a particular output or result. Like, you use the word output. That's an awesome word. So as far as, you know, I did a podcast, I think a little bit ago, about the five different pieces to the employee life cycle, one being recruiting. Like, recruiting is a thing. That's its own skill set. It's its own technique. It requires a strategy. It's a system. It's a lever. And so you got recruiting, then you have interviewing. You know, how do you interview? Where do you interview? What's the process for them to go through to even be able to have an interview? Is it a group interview? What questions do you ask? Like, you got to go deep on that. And then you have the hiring process and the onboarding and indoctrinating them with culture. And then you have the training process. And then you have leadership development. And you're right, with a seasonal business, it gets tricky. Tell us some more specifics. Do you keep like your leadership team on at like a reduced salary? Do they do other things? Does everybody take the whole winter off? I know Brian Hegarty, he uses his downtime as actually like one of his selling points for the job. And he hires people that want 3 months off so they can go to Colorado and ski and go fishing in Florida and all that. How do you handle that specifically with your team?
Yeah, that's totally it. You know, arguably, it's a little difficult to start fresh year over year. And what we've done up until now is we've targeted the younger demographics to work for us. So guys that are going to school in the fall, or playing hockey or football or whatever. And, you know, that's great because it kind of conforms to our schedule. With that said, though, you know, there's a lot that can change in a 22-year-old's life, you know, and year over year, we do see a lot of turnover as just as an attribute of hiring that demographic. What I really like, though, is Mike Callahan's interview. And, you know, I think what's important to recognize now is it's just not as easy as chucking an ad up on Craigslist or Kijiji and getting a tremendous inflow of resumes and, you know, finding the perfect fit. Like, it's got to be so much more than that if you're willing to provide a high level of service with awesome value being delivered. You know, like what he said, you know, you got to look at it as a Monday, Wednesday, and sometimes Friday type of ordeal all year round. It doesn't matter if you're hiring or not, because it's a service business and you got nothing without boots on the ground ready to work for you, right?
Absolutely. You got it, man. You got to have the people. And I always tell people that the sales side and then the personnel or the human team side is like a teeter-totter. And as you scale up a company, your primary job, you're doing lots of stuff as the owner, the founder, the CEO, the whatever you call yourself. But you're primarily on one or the other side of the teeter-totter. So you're driving sales, you're doing bids, you're networking, the phone's ringing, and then that's going to cause a lot of strain and pressure on the team. So then you're going to have to push pause on the deal flow side, hurry up, flop over to the other side and start like inspiring people, motivating people, recruiting, interviewing, hiring, training, like holding them accountable. It's just pure mad chaos. And then as your team gets a little bigger, then you're like, oh my God, we don't have enough stuff sold. And then you flop over to the other side of the teeter-totter and you're selling again. And it's this oscillation back and forth, back and forth, back
totally,
and forth.
Totally, totally.
As you're doing it, that's what pushes you up to that $1 million plus mark, is that those two sides of the teeter-totter. It's really that simple.
Yeah, they got to work simultaneously and they got to work when you need them to work. Because a lot of times the busy season, you know, for our location specifically, we do 22 to 25% of our entire year's revenue in the month of May. So you better be ready to perform in May, because if you're not, you know, you're not going to be able to make that up.
Yep. And I encourage people to build systems to hedge against their risk. So instead of, if an employee leaves, instead of it being a cliff for your business, because if you have like three employees and two of them leave, that is like devastating. It can ruin your whole season if you're not prepared. But by recruiting all year long, you can turn that cliff into a speed bump. Or you could attach some sort of end of May bonus structure where there's a lot of pain involved and loss for your staff if they leave during that busy month or whatever. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. But the downtime in your off season is when you can think through these challenges. And that's what I mean when I say get creative. It's like, okay, last year this horrible thing happened. What are some ideas on how I can fix that or hedge my risk against that this next year? You got to get quiet to be able to think through stuff like that. Right.
Definitely. Yeah. You need some depth and you don't want to be vulnerable. And there's a few different, you know, forces that are completely outside of your control that can cause some serious damage if you don't have some depth in those areas. And obviously, you know, employees can definitely be a namely point that, you know, it's all good when it's going good. But man, things can change with a text message real fast.
Well, what would you say to the up and coming business owner who maybe has been stuck? You were about 7 or 8 years into your business, right? Before you know, really had the systems light bulb go on and you went hard and you've scaled up. What would you say to them is the most important things they need to put in place or change in terms of their thinking or their business to help them live the life that they want? Maybe they don't want to go do Muay Thai training in Thailand like you've done, or maybe they don't want to go to Cambodia or the Philippines like you have, but I guarantee they want something. How can they get what they want from their business? What advice would you give them?
First and foremost, you got to know your numbers and you got to charge a fair price for an awesome amount of value. If you're competing on price, you're just not going to have anything at the end of the day in order to, you know, fulfill an off season where you can sit down and really rehash what went on and it's done in complete solitude. If you don't have that, first and foremost, know your numbers and charge a fair price. I don't know. It's pretty tough to work with anything because there's just nothing left at the end of the season.
That is actually really, really good advice. In fact, a lot of people listening to this could solve most of their financial problems just by raising their prices and adding a little bit more perceived value and focusing on the experience. If you just did that, it could change everything. And then the foundational thing you said was know your numbers, which, you know, people overlook, or maybe it's hard because they don't have, you know, a lot of organization yet because they're young and small. But you got to move towards that, guys. You have to understand, you know, your average margin, your average ticket. You have to understand your customer acquisition costs. You have to understand all kinds of different things, or else you're not in control. You're not in control. We need you to be in control so that you can change your family tree. Before I let you go, Brandon, I'm really curious about this Muay Thai training. I mean, those people in Thailand, they're crazy.
They're insane. You know, you can see like a little 90-pound guy, And like, you don't want to bump into him in a bar after a couple Chang beers, because yeah, it's just insane. Like, we're so focused on size in North America, and it just has nothing to do with it. You know, when you go over there, it's incredible what those guys can do on virtually no body mass.
Well, there's so much mental stuff, you know. Like, I know Jocko Willink, the guy, he was a Navy SEAL, and he's really popular right now, has a podcast, and he has a book called, Extreme Ownership, I think it's called. But I think it was him talking about this Navy SEAL guy who was going to run a marathon. And he didn't even train for a marathon. He's like a 260-pound, like, beast. So he's not even built for a marathon, right? And he's running, and he's going kind of slow, but he just keeps going. Long story short, the guy had broken a whole bunch of bones in both of his feet over the course of this marathon, but he never stopped, and he finished the thing, and he just kept chugging along. And when he was – and I don't know if this was Jocko or a story he was telling. Forget about where I heard this. Just focus on the point is this Navy SEAL said that when your body feels like you are at max, you know, red line capacity, like when your body's screaming at you to quit, when you're working on systems and you feel like your head's going to explode, or when you're lifting weights, or when you're running, or you're going through a hard time, that you're actually only at 40% of your capacity.
Crazy.
And that like blew my mind. So when you are at your max stress load level, what you think is you're at about 40% of your capacity, and we are all capable of so much more than we think we are. Even the 90-pound Taiwanese person, right?
Well, yeah. And I think let's bring that back, you know, to kind of sum up, you know, our perception, albeit, is we're getting a little bit soft here. We got it really good. And recognize that, you know, our 40%, even in another country, it wouldn't even scale for them. They wouldn't even feel that, you know? So, you know, it does get hard. It's tricky. What we're doing is not for everyone, but you can do it. You can do more, and you got to just push through it. It's not that bad.
Yeah, and it makes it a little bit easier when you can listen to a podcast like this with Brandon Lazar and Josh. I hope we've inspired you guys and encouraged you guys. Brandon, if someone wants to reach out or really resonated with you, what's the best way they can get in contact with
you? Yeah, facebook.com/Brandon Lazar, LAZ, as you guys say it, AR.
Oh, how do Canadians say Z?
We call it a Zed.
A Zed?
A Zed.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, those crazy Canadians, eh? No, I'm just kidding. I love my Canadian friends. Thank you for your time today, Brandon. I think you added tremendous value to people. And this was just a good episode to just remind everybody of what's possible and how cool of a lifestyle we can live if we can just figure out some of this business stuff and the system stuff. I appreciate it, brother. I'll be talking to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.